Uno, two, tres,
dos. Three-fourths human with
Kevin Cat
and Sugo.
And AI. AI.
Hey, party people, it's episode 124. I'm Kevin Ryder. That is Sluggo. That is Cat Corbett. And good morning, Corny.
Morning again, you merry trio. Let's see if we can keep this one from spiraling into another time warp. What's the first victim of conversation today?
Well, apparently the Rocky Horror Picture Show, because he mentioned the time warp. Everybody up, do the time. You know, I never did the time warp. I would scream and yell obscenities at the theater, but I didn't partake in
it. I always found that odd that you would go to the theater for the midnight showing of that and like participate. You just you never seemed like a participatory person.
He's not. It's shocking.
I loved getting the crowd really worked up and making them laugh. We would, our goal was every week to come up with a new filthy line, and when a few of us did and yelled it at the right moment and everybody lost their minds, that
was... So, you were basically the heckler-in-chief hurling obscenities like confetti. A noble pursuit. But let's be honest, it's probably the most productive you've ever been at midnight. Now, what's the next
filth? Did you show up as Dr. Frankenfurter ever?
Guarantee he did. But let me guess. I guarantee he didn't dress up ever.
Nope, not once.
Not once? Never not did. Even the meatloaf character? No. Not even like the, you know.
They did ask me to do meatloaf, but I'm like, no, I'm not coming in character. I'm here to yell obscenities. I'm here to get the crowd started. I'm like, I played the music before the movie. I did that kind of shit. Then you usually ducked out and went to watch Pink Floyd the Wall or something.
Stoner.
The Exorcist.
Total stoner.
You know, my favorite thing to do in The Exorcist as a midnight movie was a really quiet moment, just like, and just people would scream and freak out.
They
and,
love
Fuck
that.
Fuck you.
Yeah, no, they really did. That's amazing. Oh my God. I love it. That's brilliant.
All right, let's do this day in K-Rock history because Social Distortion is back.
And, yes.
I love the band so much. They're so Southern California.
And such a history with K-Rock. Like, I mean, just in the DNA of it.
Yeah. Like Richard Blade, when he was on, told that story that he was a DJ for a minute. Mike Ness was on K-Rock, right when Richard Blade was on it first, which is so cool.
Yeah, that is wild. He just did our Acoustic Christmas not too long ago, and it would have been the holidays, and got to interview him, and it reminded me of the first time I met him was I started with the Kevin and Bean Show in 1990. So Social D had already been a thing for 11, 12 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And then they had this breakthrough album in 1990 where they had Ball and Chain and Story of My Life, and they did the cover of Ring of Fire, and they played the first K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Oh, they were the very first one? I didn't remember that.
It's their fault. Awesome. It is Social Distortion's fault. There we go.
It is their fault, yeah. And I just remember I was brand new. All of us have had this exact same experience at K-Rock, which is, I don't belong here.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on, but I do know I don't belong here.
These people are way too cool.
Yeah, the imposter syndrome.
I think that's just... Yeah. And I remember thinking, you know, Social Distortion, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And I was backstage. We have a backstage room for K-Rock. And there was a piano in there. And Mike Ness was sitting at the piano.
That's
and
awesome.
I was like, what the? And I saw him. He wasn't playing the piano. He was shuffling cards.
Oh.
So I went in. I said, how many opportunities am I going to get just to hang with Mike Ness? So I went in and I said, hey, what are you playing? And he said, whatever game it was, I don't remember what game it was, do you want to play?
And I said, hell yeah, I do.
Mike Ness is asking me to play a card game. This is crazy. And he said, you want to put a little money on it?
Oh.
And I said, absolutely. This is the greatest experience of my life. Yeah. So it's one of those things where you're sort of paying attention, but you're sort of out of your body, where you're watching yourself sit at a table with Mike Ness and play cards and not really paying attention until it hit me. I owe Mike Ness $200. And I don't have $200.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's not good.
And I do remember because I was young and I didn't know him all that well. I was like, this guy's going to kill me.
Yeah, he went to prison.
Yes.
I'm going to die tonight. That is not what I had planned.
You do not sit down to a game unless you got the cash on you.
Right?
Man.
Like didn't Ness. Even think about
Mike
it because
Ness
it was
backs
Mike
up
Ness.
The tough. Like, he can back it up. He's not just a costume.
Right.
He's like that guy. Yeah. Oh, my God. Kevin.
Good, because for when real. I look back, I feel stupid for being scared. But at the time,
no,
I was
dude.
Really scared.
Yeah, especially we're talking still 1990. The 80s
yeah.
just ended.
Yeah.
It's still for
and
real.
And he was,
still
you know, on. I mean, look, Mike Ness was, you know, infamous for troublemaker in Orange County. And by the way, there's this.
Have you listened to the
there's
songs?
There's a great book. I urge you to get the audio version of it. It's called Tearing Down the Orange Curtain. And it really goes into Mike Ness being at the forefront of what was happening with punk rock in Orange County.
Nice.
Like, and all of his shenanigans. It's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. So you owe him $200. You're sitting.
So I owe him $200.
You already got your shirt off. You're taking your socks off.
I think I might die tonight, and that
right.
doesn't sit well with me. So right. my ex-wife was there, and I gave her my ATM card because there's an ATM at Universal Amphitheater
right, right.
upstairs.
Sure. Yeah.
So I said, you gotta go get $200.
This guy's gonna kill me.
So she went up to the ATM. She got $200. She brought it back down
I
to me, and I
that.
Handed it to him. And everything else is just a blur.
Right.
I remember being overwhelmed by the fact that it was Mike Ness, and overwhelmed by the fact that I owed him $200 and I was going to die.
And this honestly is before you really started playing poker, because we sat down
yes.
to your first true poker game in Vegas at the Four Queens downtown. And since then, you probably wouldn't have lost, even if you weren't paying attention or were freaked out that you're sitting
yeah, I don't
there.
Know.
Mike
I
Ness.
Mean, who's
but whatever.
To tell?
Yeah.
But I was
yeah.
so distracted by the fact that it was Mike Ness. I wasn't
sure,
even
of course.
Paying attention
right. no,
to
yeah.
what game it was. I don't even remember
right.
what game it was.
So,
I right. just remember it occurring. I owe him $200.
Kevin, this is the, just to like, so for my, this is Universal. This is in the backstage. This is like the production office room where there was like, I think it was a red piano. Like everyone sat at that piano. The amount of
mm-hmm.
people
yes.
that I have sat with at that piano. I didn't lose $200, by the way, like you did. But there was, we all know, you know, and then there was like the big bathroom with the, it was like a
yeah,
giant
I love that bathroom.
Sauna or
that was great. Yeah, and you could lock yourself in, and you're just in there by yourself, and it was nice.
I have
nice
so many pictures
the,
with bands in that bathroom poop. For some reason. I don't know why.
There was some kind of a statue in there, wasn't there? Some
yes.
kind of a,
yeah, it was
yeah.
like you walked
naked
into some Grecian sauna. But it was
yes.
yeah,
it was in the production
yeah.
office.
Yeah,
but that piano
yeah.
and
yeah.
All of the dressing rooms were in a very tight space, like a little hallway
a row.
With all of
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
So sort of everybody was roaming the halls, you know?
Yeah. Wow. So you are,
that was so
wait,
fun.
So you're doing another event with Social Distortion? Is that what's happening?
Yes. They are playing tomorrow night in the In-N-Out Burger sound space at K-Rock.
I'm going to crash
come,
it.
Kat.
I'm going to crash it.
Yeah.
Look who's
do,
back,
please
bitches.
Do. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You are welcome.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you know, so we've been giving away tickets on K-Rock, of course, and people are always excited about stuff, but Social D fans, man, they punch through and they're so happy to know they're going to be in that tiny little room at K-Rock with Mike Ness and co. And I love that band. I'm just so happy that you know, we get to play rock. That's rock and roll, man. That's real
yep.
straight up
dude,
rock.
No one rocked
that.
The chain wallet harder than Mike
no.
Ness. I mean, and the cuffed jeans, like the white yep. tank
and for
top,
the lyrics.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
the lyrics just punch me, man. Yeah. They just get it. Like, you know, talking about like, you know, trying to go get a job or whatever and having no experience and looking at how he looks. And boy, that just
right?
rings so fucking true.
I know.
And just turn around and go home and fuck it.
Yeah. And like, why wouldn't you be depressed and angry and
mm-hmm.
all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I get
yeah.
that.
They have a new album
shit.
Out called Hard to Kill, which is
yeah.
great.
Killer stuff.
And,
yeah.
you know, it's so fun that, you know, Mike Ness has this persona. And
Born
then he also rescues chihuahuas. It's like the coolest.
He does?
Yes. He is such.
I didn't know that.
He's so good at dog rescue. And yeah, I remember
oh, wow.
I was talking to him at one Coachella. He was at the house. And he came by for an interview because, you know, I've had chihuahuas. And I was like, Mike. And he's like, they're just the best.
Me
and
too.
I'm like,
they
I
are.
Love that he's tough guy.
Yes.
You know, he's like
Shit.
Tough guy with little dog. Like, I love that.
I might have
thing.
To get me a chihuahua from him. How awesome
you
would
should.
That be? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I
mean, make
dog.
Kevin pay $200
oh,
for it. That would be a full circle moment, as we say in Hollywood.
Oh, shit. So if someone would like to hear about a story, maybe you heard something on the radio or something that you remember at an event that you went to with K-Rock, give us a call and leave us a message. Ask us about it. Corny, I don't know why we're going to bother trying, but what's the phone number for you to call the podcast and leave your request for a This Day in K-Rock history story? What's our phone number, Corny?
I'm not falling for that one again. You've got a better chance of Mike Ness giving you a refund. But I will say, if anyone listening can't figure out the podcast number by now, I might need to start charging you lot $200.
Nope.
This is the guy I give my phone number who asked for my phone number. I give the phone number and then then I stay at home and die waiting, which, I mean, I've stopped doing that. But, you know, this is what Corny is right now.
What kind of psycho moron doesn't call you if you have given them their... What the fuck is wrong with you people? Are you insane? How do you lose that number?
I mean,
what the
come
fuck?
On.
I just
idiotic.
Want to point out something Cat. About Corny, and that is that this is the third episode that he forgot the number.
Oh, I think longer now. It's longer since he's...
And we've made a big deal about it each time and said, remember this, like specifically remember this number. And it just doesn't happen.
Corny, if you do not say the number for 3/4 human for people to call right now, we're getting Mike Ness to come and beat the crap out of you.
Yes.
Oh, well, since I owe Mike Ness nothing this time, I'll save myself the bruises. The number is, well, you know what? I'll let them guess. Keeps the stakes high, just like your
card.
Right.
Okay.
818-510-0042. Remember that number, Corny.
Say it, Corny. Say the number he just said.
818-510-0042. There, I've said it. Like a hostage reading a note. Happy now?
Yes. Keep that, and maybe we'll untie you and let you go to the bathroom pretty soon. Take your blind off.
I'm joking.
Like a hostage reading a note. All right, so we have a call?
Yes.
Hi, kids. It's Maren. Kat, thank you for unlocking 1,000 memories with your Sesame Street story. And I wanted to share one where my sister and I were really scared of, I believe it was this, it was a letter M, and it could, like, walk around.
Oh, oh.
And they were, these two detective Muppets were looking for the letter M because he committed some crime. And he flipped himself upside down and became a W and was, like, hiding. And just the way it moved and it had googly eyes, I don't know why, I did not like the M disguising himself as a W, and it was very, very scary, and they did not solve the case. So just wanted to share that Sesame Street was one of the greatest things ever, and thank you for unlocking a bunch of memories. And I am now compiling a list of, you know, shows of mine that Kevin needs to watch, because how did he not know that I was on
myself? I mean, seriously, Kevin.
Honey, we have some work to do. All right. Have fun, guys. Bye.
Maren.
How awesome is that? Karen, Maren.
If you were to ask me, was she on Seinfeld? Yeah, of course I know that, but I didn't know the line. Mm-hmm. Come on.
That skit from, that like totally brings me back. I remember that sketch from Sesame Street, and it was a little creepy, but it was also brilliant. The creepy part was I remember it like slid like almost like a snake across the way. But the fact that it, M turned into a W or vice versa, which is brilliant for kids.
Teaching,
And it made it look like it was like kind of like this noir thriller, if I recall.
Yes.
See, it's just Sesame Street is just pure goodness.
Yeah, and I had completely forgotten about it too until she was saying it, and I'm like, oh, it did freak me out, and nothing really freaked me out very much. I liked the scary shit, but that for some reason, because he was a criminal or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. The googly eyes didn't help. Yeah.
Yeah. Sesame Street rules. Support PBS. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Kat, you have some new apps to talk about?
So, you know, everyone has like the troubles of staying online too much and being too like, you know, you're all of a sudden you're like, where did the hour go? I just sucked up an entire hour going down these rabbit holes and stuff. And so, I was searching and I found some apps that are all about limiting your time online.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, I don't think a lot of people want to admit they have an addiction. And when I say that, you know, people listening right now, I don't have an addiction. If you cannot put your phone away and not look at it, like if you know, sometimes I will go to the movies and people are on their phones theater.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get arrested someday. I'm just telling you right now, because I go to the movies to lose myself. I wanna block everything out, and the last thing I'm gonna see is your dumbass light in somewhere, and I can see it. Peripheral vision. Yes. It's astonishing. So I found,
for centuries you weren't able to get a hold of somebody if they were in the theater. There was no way to reach them. So just that hour and a half, just stop. You know, I paid $4,000 to get this fucking movie ticket, and I don't need to see your stupid fucking phone lighten up. Just get the fuck out of the theater if you have to answer the question or whatever.
But also, it does your brain good to reset.
Yes.
You know, for work, for whatever. If you don't have that pause in there, your brain is never resting to suss through things, right? It's just constantly being barraged with crap. So there's no, you can't get through it. So I was like, all right, let's get some apps that will limit your time.
Nice. That's crazy. Yeah.
Okay. So there's an app I found. A Japanese developer created this app where it puts a fat cat on your screen and forces you to take a break if you're on too long. So it's this big fat orange cat. It just saunters out in your screen and just lays, like, you know, it's like, so you can't see anything. You can't do anything. You literally have to take.
For those of us who have lived with cats and know how they like to lay across whatever you're doing, your book, your laptop, whatever, that's perfect.
Right?
That's
like, and it's cute. So, like, why wouldn't you?
Do you set the amount of time before it comes out?
I'm pretty sure there's probably a 5 minute timeout, a 10 or like whatever.
Because as a cat, it's not going to listen. It's just going to come out at the time it wants to come out.
I mean, I really wish the app would, like, a paw would come out and knock shit off your desk, that would be totally a cat thing to do. Then there's one, I love the name of this. It's called Touch Grass, and it forces you to step away by physically touching grass. And the thing is like the camera on the phone has to pick up the sight of grass. And that is the only way it will unlock.
The only way it'll shut up?
Yeah, so you have to go outside and touch grass.
God, it would take me forever to get out of this damn building. Like, if it's on fire, I'm fucked. But to go get some grass.
Yeah.
Well, that would pull you away from
that kind of grass. Slugger.
Yeah. Oh, that's right here, man. That's no problem.
Yeah, I don't know if the weed in your closet that you got growing with that weird light is going to work. But, you know. I love that. I love it so much. Then there's one that I love, which is, it's called Wholesome. And I think this is Mac-based. And it's a website blocker that asks you to reflect on why you want to visit a site before letting you in. Like, do you really want to go?
No way.
Do you really want to go here? Like, why do you want
to? No, I don't want to be questioned by my own computer if I really want to go there.
Give us an essay on why you want to visit this particular
site.
Kevin,
why do you want to go to the dark web? Like, what? Like, why? What do you need on there, Kevin?
That's where the goods are.
Why are you looking for naked llama pictures, Kevin? What is that about?
That one's not for me. All right. I'll touch grass, but I'm not going to.
Look, there's a lot of these apps out there. So if you are finding that, like, you're just tired all the time, I guarantee it's probably from just staring at your phone. Like, you think you're relaxing on the couch while the TV's on, and you're like, but you're scrolling as well. You are not relaxing at all. You are still, like, your brain is still on fire doing stuff, and you are not.
People are saying they're really amped and they're all worked up and everything is so crazy. And while that's true, it's because, you know, you got this in front of your head all the time and you're seeing what's going on in real time. And that can't be good for us.
Right.
There's no way that's good for
us. So, I mean, have a conversation. So. Go touch grass. So, yeah, there's a lot out there.
Go smoke some grass.
Go search for some apps and, you know, get yourself under control, people.
All right, Corny, do you have the email address for the 3/4 Human podcast?
Oh, I do. And I'll even say it with a flourish this time. It's 3/4human@gmail.com. You lot happy now?
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't hear much flourish in there. But yes, that was well done, Corn. We're very proud of you.
Kat, you have some emails for us?
Well, I want to actually... So we have a lot of emails from people who are just like...
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, my bad. What?
You like to start one of those every episode somewhere.
My computer is up.
Sure.
Okay, just tell me to shut up, Kevin. Like, you don't have to do that bullshit. Okay. I wanted to first say hello to some new members. Taylor Powell. Yay. Thanks for joining and through
thank
the
you,
Patreon
Taylor.
And coughing up the dough because, you know, we put a lot of work into this, so thank you. And then I'm going to butcher the rest of the names of the folks who have signed on, so we appreciate you being
excellent.
Here. And I don't know, I apologize. I apologize for how...
I do this all the time on the radio, and I'm always very sorry I get your name wrong. A lot of people care about that. People ask me what to call me. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. So that's... But I know most people, and I'm sorry.
I just go with asshole for slugger.
Oh, my God.
It's easiest.
That's pretty,
it's
yeah,
easy
to run. That's pretty easy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Joe Estrada. That's easy peasy. Joe Estrada, thanks for signing
yes.
on and listening
Joe.
To Three Fourths Human. Russell Kuhinka, thank you. I hope that is appropriate. I even Googled the pronunciation, Russell. Just
wow. Check you out.
You know, I check
wow.
my stuff just in case.
Yeah.
That is not the
nice.
Correct way. Also, Galeo Cuvier. Thank you for signing on and listening to Three Fourths Human.
We got some people with some pretty damn cool names coming on board.
I know, right?
I like those names, yeah. I'm going to steal a couple of them and steal your identity now that we have it.
just to FYI, you can comment on whether it's the Spotify or the, you know, the Apple or the Patreon, like whatever. You know, we go through them and I see all of the comments. We see them and... I'm just going to shout out names to people who've left comments from Lucy Romero to Michelle Zentgraf to Debbie McGill, Zinks on there, and Dr. Frye. Thanks for the comments and appreciating all the good times.
Yeah, and Debbie McGill was our show dedication last week,
yep.
or last episode, yep. or
she
something
like
that.
Yay,
very recently. So, Debbie,
so.
Thank you. Yeah, oh, nice.
Yeah,
right on.
Stuff.
Thank you. All right, I got a how does the
how
story
does the story end? How does the story end?
He's brutal.
I mean,
with
it
those
is
buttons,
a miracle
man. It's just
that
brutal.
30 years you were on the air with. A morning show, and you managed to hit
I mean, it's
these
no
drops.
Wonder you felt like an imposter at the Hall of Fame. I mean,
I did the same thing during the entire morning show.
You know, that's good.
I did stuff at the wrong time. By the way, that was at the right time.
It was, but a little early.
Oh.
Yeah, I had important things to say. No, all right, sure. This how does this story end is not, I don't, you don't have to guess necessarily in this case, but it starts with, I was in shock and said, you've got to be kidding me. And that's how the story ends, actually. The story was in People Online. You know how you lose touch with someone, like a family member, and suddenly a few years have gone by? You guys have to have people friends.
Sure.
And, yeah. I'm still looking for Mark Johnson. Where the hell are you, man? All right. So brother and sister, Ralph Slaughter, great name, and Becky Gibson hadn't heard from each other in about 30 years. They grew up in Manchester, Ohio, and Slaughter ended up being nicknamed Doc while serving in Vietnam. He was awarded the Purple Heart and retired in 2024 at age 73.
Wow.
And he retired to the Rose Lane Nursing Home and Rehabilitation Center in Ohio. So he and his sister had simply lost touch over the years. The story doesn't indicate that there had been any kind of falling out, but you know how that goes. And they just didn't know where the other one was. So at 82, so almost 10 years older, Becky is, Becky's kids began the process of moving her into assisted living. And it was to be at the Rose Lane Nursing and
the
Rehabilitation Center in Ohio.
Oh, this is magical. I'm getting the chills right now.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's a nice story. I'm bringing a nice story. I don't know who I am, but one of her kids posted about it on Facebook, and one of his kids saw the post and was like, that's where her brother lives. That's our aunt and uncle. So now they spend all day, every day together and couldn't be happier to be reunited. And there's a very cute picture of them sitting together. And Becky's advice was to not let so much time go between reconnecting with your loved ones, which I think is really good advice.
That is a lovely story.
30 years, that's extreme.
That's a very long time. But, you know, it just flies by sometimes.
It really
does. I mean, I think that it was 36 years ago we started at K-Rock. That makes no sense to me. So.
What?
Yeah. Yes, I know. So anyways, nice story. So I want to dedicate this particular episode to them, to Ralph and Becky.
Aw. I love Ralph and Becky.
All right, we got another call. Someone else called, yeah.
Okay, it's Marin. I'm calling back just because one more Sesame Street memory because I'm obsessed now. That they did that like song when they were teaching us how to count. It was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Do 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 do, and then go like eight or whatever. And it was like a pinball. It was this crazy, funky cartoon.
Karen!
You know who sang that? The Pointer Sisters.
No.
You're right.
I had no idea.
The Pointer Sisters.
That's huge.
Marin, again.
No wonder it was so good.
Marin. Do you know I cannot see like the numbers, like anytime I see like the 1 through 10 spelled out, I sing that in my head just
yes.
like that.
1, yes.
2, 3, 4,
yes.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
And I was always so happy when they got to the chef. I think he was number 10 or something, and he fell down the stairs with all the cakes, and I just thought that was the best thing in the world. And I was always disappointed when it was 3. I'm like, eh.
It's the magic number. What the hell? Why would you be mad at 3?
How's 3 the magic number?
What? Why? You're mad at 3? Sluggo?
Well, as opposed to the one that makes the chef fall down the stairs with all the cakes or whatever. Yes.
Sluggo just needs chaos.
Violence,
He has
insanity.
To have chaos and violence.
He's a magic number, man. I don't know what.
But
where
Pointer
you
Sisters.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
That is a great fact. Marin rules.
Yeah.
Who knew that?
I did not know that.
All right, Cornelius, can you wrap up this episode with specific things that we talked about from the beginning and thank people for listening and watching?
Right, let's tie this circus up. We started with Kat's unhinged Xanadu threat, then Sluggo went on about Rocky Horror heckling, shock he didn't dress up, before Kevin owed Mike Ness $200 and survived. We had a KROQ history lesson, a Sesame Street noir crime, and apps telling you to touch grass, literally. To Ralph and Becky, reunited after decades, this one's yours. To the rest of you, you survived another episode. Now, go touch some grass before I send the cat.
Hey, now.
Nice.
What? That's
nice.
Amazing.
Okay, it's Marin. I'm calling back just because one more
thing. No, that's just a joke.
Marin's part of the team now. Bring her on.
Three-fourths human with Kat. And Sluggo. And AI.